Israel, the Future Kingdom of God. The following article is from a presentation given at the Liverpool Library on the 22nd of June, 2026. It is common church teaching that the salvation extended to mankind is life in heaven, but the Bible does not teach this. According to the Bible, God will establish a kingdom upon earth, with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, reigning as King. Consider the following well-known words from the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Notice the sections highlighted in red. God's will is to be done on earth like it is in heaven. And this will only take place when God's kingdom comes. The Bible uses the expression, as the days of heaven upon the earth, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21, to describe this aspect. The Gospel record of Matthew also uses the expression, the kingdom of heaven, to describe the dominion of Christ. Not a kingdom in heaven, but the kingdom of heaven. That is, a kingdom governed by principles that originate in heaven. This aspect of a future kingdom upon the earth is taught throughout the Bible. Take the following sample texts. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Abraham. The promise that he should be the heir of the world was through the righteousness of faith. Romans chapter 4 verse 13. We shall reign on the earth. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. These verses are conclusive in teaching the purpose of God for mankind. It is not that disembodied spirits, aka immortal souls, will ascend to heaven, but rather that men and women will inherit a kingdom and reign on the earth. There are many more verses that teach the same. The Old Testament prophet Daniel spoke of the days in which we live and the way in which the present kingdoms of men will ultimately be replaced. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 44. And the book of Revelation also teaches, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. An Israelitish kingdom. Our title indicates that this future kingdom upon earth will in fact be the kingdom of Israel restored. Again, this is the clear teaching of the Bible. We have the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary regarding her son Jesus. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke chapter 1, verse 33. Jacob, here, was another name for Israel. See Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. The throne of David was situated in Jerusalem upon earth. Hence the Lord will also reign over the house of Israel / Jacob from this city. The disciples of Christ recognize this aspect, asking their master, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Acts chapter 1 verse 6. This latter verse illustrates a key principle. The kingdom will be restored, which implies that it previously existed in times past. The ancient kingdom of Israel was the previous kingdom of God upon earth, as can be seen from the descriptions given to Solomon's rule, which replaced that of his father David. And of all my sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 5. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 23. This is highly relevant to our current considerations. The throne of David, which Solomon sat upon, was the throne of the kingdom of the Lord. The kingdom and throne were God's, and the verses we have considered above indicate that the Israel of the future will be that ancient polity restored. The Lord Jesus Christ will sit upon the ancient Davidic seat of power, reigning over the 12 tribes of Israel. Compare also Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. The prophet Ezekiel was also shown this throne and its place in the midst of the children of Israel. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 7. A time of trouble. The word Jerusalem in the Hebrew literally means a city of peace. But when we consider the troubles of present-day Jerusalem, it is clear that major changes will be necessary for it to become such. Israel as a nation must come to recognize Jesus of Nazareth as their Messiah, and they must be humbled before him. So, there is a time of even more trouble to come upon Israel, but they will be saved by Christ when he comes to take up his rightful place upon the throne of David. As Jeremiah prophesied, Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. This is an aspect which is really beyond the scope of our current considerations, but Bible prophecy indicates that nations will come against Israel in an attempt to obliterate her. The prophecies of Zechariah chapter 14, Joel chapter 3, and Ezekiel chapter 38 should be read together to see what will happen then. But Zechariah informs us that when Israel is brought to her knees by her adversaries, the Lord will fight for her. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. The Lord Jesus Christ will come as a deliverer, see Romans chapter 11, verse 26, and save Israel from the hand of those who are stronger than she. Then Israel will be elevated, and their Messiah will make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 7, and an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 15, having been humbled, the people of Israel will look upon Jesus, whom they pierced, and mourn for what they have done. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. They will turn from their sins and confidence in the flesh, and Jerusalem will be exalted to become the capital city of Messiah's kingdom. Consider these words of the prophet Micah. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills. And people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Also Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. In that day, the Jewish nation will no longer be despised amongst men, but honored and held in high esteem. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 20. Christ as King of Israel. The reference to Micah chapter 4, cited above, proves that the nations will go to Jerusalem for the purpose of instruction and worship. Israel as the kingdom of Christ will be elevated above all other kingdoms and nations. Consider the following. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 3 and 12, and Jesus, as King over the exalted nation, will be honored amongst men, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Saba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Psalm chapter 72, verses 10 to 11. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Psalm chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. The other nations. The above testimonies prove that whereas today the name Jesus Christ is commonly used in a derisory way, as an oath or curse of contempt, it will be honored and extolled when he comes again. But notice that these verses also portray King Jesus as a ruler amongst the other nations, not just Israel. Whereas Israel shall constitute his kingdom, the other nations will also be subject to him as part of his empire. The other peoples of the earth will maintain their national identity, yet be subject to Israel and her king. They had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12. As we have seen, the nation shall go to Jerusalem for worship and instruction, and God's house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. But the scriptures reveal that the kingdom of Christ will be changed after 1,000 years have passed. See Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. It will endure forever, but its nature and constitution will change. Compare 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 to 28. At the end of the 1,000 years, the other nations will then cease to exist. As we saw from Daniel chapter 7, cited above, the lives of the nations will only be prolonged for a season and time. After this, they shall exist no more. Consider the following. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11. Whereas the nations will be made a full end of, only Israel will remain. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17. Only Israel will remain at the last, when all other nations shall cease to exist. The kingdom of Israel will continue, world without end. As Gabriel has it, cited above, of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke chapter 1, verse 33. The hope of Israel. When we consider the above, it is pertinent to ask the question, why? Why is it that God will restore Israel as his kingdom above all the other nations and kingdoms of the earth? The simple answer is that it pleases our Maker to do so. As Samuel told the people of Israel, the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. Moreover, it has pleased God to make his dealings with Israel the very basis upon which men and women can be saved from sin and death. Consider the following. Salvation is of the Jews. John chapter 4, verse 22. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And again, those who are not part of the family of Christ are alienated from Israel and the promises concerning her. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. There is no hope aside from Israel. Hence, Paul exclaimed in his sufferings for Christ's sake, "For the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." Acts chapter 28, verse 20. And the very gospel message itself is stated to be to do with Israel and her king. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Here, the gospel, which word literally means good tidings, is to do with salvation being published, to the effect that Zion's God will reign. Righteousness. When Israel is so glorified, they will have turned from their sins and become a righteous nation. Hence, Jesus links the kingdom with the righteousness of God being made known. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. As the prophet has it, Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land for ever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 21. And because righteousness shall be in the earth, there will be peace and tranquility. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance for ever. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. Then Jerusalem will indeed be a city of peace, with the young and elderly being safe to go into the streets without fear. There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 4 to 5. Blessings of the kingdom. The picture painted by the Hebrew prophets concerning the kingdom to come is one of harmonious coexistence between both men and animals. Consider the beauty of Isaiah's prophecy of future blessings upon Israel. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 9. Notice that all the promised blessings will come about as a consequence of one thing, the earth being full of the knowledge of the Lord. As we have seen, the nations will flow to Zion to learn this knowledge. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. When the nations are taught the way of righteousness, then there will be harmony amongst them also, as they shall learn war no more. The blessings will thus be provided in the subject nations also, as all the earth shall be bathed in the warmth and splendor of the sun of righteousness. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Our own position. We have demonstrated above that the hope of salvation for men and women is bound up with the hope of Israel. Whilst the churches teach disembodied immortal souls living in a kingdom beyond the skies, the Bible teaches a literal kingdom upon the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the future king, reigning over the restored tribes of Jacob from the ancient Davidic seat of power. His kingdom will be Israel, and his empire will extend globally, with all other nations and kingdoms being under his control and subject to his people. We have seen that whilst these other nations and kingdoms will have an end, it is written, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded world without end. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17. It logically follows, therefore, that if we desire to be saved with an everlasting salvation and be part of a kingdom which will have no end, Luke chapter 1, verse 33, we must become part of Israel. Then, no longer being alienated from God, we can embrace her national hope. Previously, we were without Christ, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. The overarching purpose of God is to set his righteousness in the earth, and it has so pleased him to accomplish this through Israel as a paradigmatic nation. Israel turning back to God, with their land becoming Messiah's kingdom, will be the means by which those who embrace her hope will be saved, being made nigh by the blood of Christ. We must therefore investigate these important matters further and act upon the principles of the true gospel. Then we can be part of that wonderful kingdom to come and rejoice with the apostle in the glorification of God. Unto him be glory in the ecclesia by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Christopher Maddox.